the following. Encourage us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I like this. Wherefore, take heed unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. The devil is no idiot, and knows that while he will get several persons to join him in hell for social deviations such as stealing, murder, drunkenness, and lying, those outright things that everybody knows is wrong, he knows that he will get even more persons for actions that they may even see as virtuous. How many persons really see envy as something that will cause them to go to hell? You know, persons will look at envy and say, you know, I'm envious of that person because I have ambition. Malignity, where we think the worst of a situation. We may look at that and say, you know, I'm just being wise. Being busybodies, I just have a curious mind. Greed, you know, I'm just progressive. I just want more and more. So the devil realizes that he will not get everybody in deviant social behavior that the society will hammer away and even send you to jail for. But he will get some of us through other types of sin. The devil, he's like a roaring lion. But it gets even worse. The schemes and the wiles of the devil, the deceit of the devil, are of such that he has attacked the very foundation of the Christian faith. I repeat, the schemes, the wiles, the deceit of the devil are such that he has attacked the very foundation of the Christian faith. He causes men and women to ask the question, is Christ the Messiah? He has hit at the very foundation of Christianity. And it is of such that the title of the lesson, if you are to name it, is Christ the Messiah. He is God. Christ the Messiah. He is God. The Christian faith is premised on Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the Messiah. And Peter got it right in Matthew chapter 16, when Christ actually commended him for his statement. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15.
He saith unto them,
Go up to verse 14.
And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.
Yes.
He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?
Who say you that I am?
And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Read.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
But my Father which is in heaven. So he says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. You have hit the nail on the head when you said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you see, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. But it is easy for us to just say this in our circle. But the truth is, many persons question, is Christ truly the Messiah? Is he God? It is striking to me that this type of question and reasoning and logic does not rest solely with the atheist. The atheist? Yes. Those persons who believe that there is no God. We can sort of understand them trying to find arguments to say Jesus Christ, him being God and him being deity and him being the one who created all this world and everything. We can see them putting forth strong arguments to disprove God. But it is striking that there are many who elevate God Almighty as supreme, will actually deny Christ as God. They even go to Scripture to make their arguments. Indeed, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil is at work. Here are some of the arguments that are used by organizations such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, even the Buddhists would embrace some of these arguments that I'm going to be showing. Now, some of these arguments, well, these arguments that are picked out, and there are several others that they would bring to fore if we were to go into discussions with them. And this is the rationale behind this lesson. As we go about teaching and sharing, persons will hold on to other beliefs. And it is our responsibility to help them to come to a knowledge of the truth. But do not be deceived. It is not always easy as 1, 2, 3. Because the devil is at work. He's a schemer. And he is helping them to believe their lies. He has given strong delusion. They have gone to Scripture. And using Scripture to say that Jesus Christ is not God. Can you believe that? So they argue that Christ is not the Messiah or God. So they go to passages like St. John chapter 17 and verse 3 and says, Jesus calls the Father the only true God. Therefore, he is not the true God. Follow that argument? So John 17:3 says,
And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God.
That they might know thee, the only true God.
And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
You can stop there. So, that they may know thee, the only true God. So the only true God is the Father. That's their argument. That's one. Two, they go to passages like Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And they will tell us that the Scripture teaches that God is not man. Numbers 23:19. If we find these quickly, then I'll read all of them. I was thinking of just going through it. But Numbers 23:19.
God is not a man.
God is not a man.
That he.
God is not a man. But you say that Jesus is, came and he was born and he was a man. So if God is not a man, and Jesus is a man, then Jesus is not God. That's the line of argument. That's two. Three. John 5:19. Since Jesus can do nothing of himself, he is not God. Alright, so John St. John 5 and verse 19 says,
"Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you,
verily, verily, I say unto you,
the Son can do nothing of himself."
The Son can do nothing of himself. So they say, since Jesus Christ cannot do anything of himself, then how can you say he is God? Isn't God all powerful? That's the argument. Argument 3. Psalm 90 verse 2. Psalm 90 verse 2. They are saying that since Christ died, he is not everlasting. You see, we know that God is everlasting. So since Christ died, he is not everlasting after all. Therefore, he is not God. That's their argument. Psalm 90 verse 2.
"Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God."
All right, so they are saying that God is everlasting. And so Jesus Christ died, so he ceased to exist. So he is not God. They are also proposed that since Jesus says that the Father is greater than he being Christ, then Christ cannot be Almighty God. Because nobody is greater than God. So if this God is saying something else is greater than I am, then he's really not God. John 14, verse 28. All right, and they also argue that since Jesus says that he has a God, as we see in St. John 20 and verse 17, then he himself cannot be God. Okay, let's have this one. Mark 13, verse 32. All right. Where they put the argument that Jesus Christ lacks knowledge, therefore he cannot be God. After all, God is all knowledgeable. That would be their argument. Mark 13, verse 32.
"But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Mm-hmm. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father."
Okay, so not even the Son knows that hour of the return. Alright? Only God. So the fact that Christ does not have knowledge of everything, they are saying this is an argument to say that Christ is not God. So, here it is that you have gone on a study. And your Christian faith is grounded on Christ Jesus. And a person comes with you with all these arguments. Can you stand? Remember the passage we started with? We wrestle against the devil. All right? Not against flesh and blood. All right? And it encourages us to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Do we understand the truth to buffet and to resist these false teaching? I'm here to say to us that this scheme of the devil is not new. It is not new. He used this line of arguments against Christ himself when Christ was here on earth. Where he was questioning, "But you're behaving like you are God." You know, even when he was tempting, "If you are God, then do this." So it is not a new scheme of the devil. Christ faced it. The devil used this strategy against the church in its infancy. But Paul saw the implications of this and highlighted it in his writings to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12 following, we see Paul almost going out of his way to highlight the implication of not embracing Christ at the foundation of Christianity. It says, no, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because he has testified that God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. Are we seeing the progression? All the people are saying, is resurrection something that really happens? And Paul started to show, well, if you deny this, then it has certain implications. Now, if we say that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah, he's not God, then it has some of these very same implications. And it goes back again to say, and if Christ be not raised, then your faith is also vain. Which is consistent with what we are saying. You see, sometimes false doctrine may seem not to have a whole lot of implication, but when you look at it closely, it tears away the faith. Because we are saying, if we don't embrace Jesus Christ for who he says he is and what he has done to the church in Corinth, it was, hey, we are looking and saying the resurrection. But just that implication is saying that your faith is vain. It makes no sense. Christianity does not make sense if Christ is false. You know, it continues down to say, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are men most miserable. You see, Paul saw the implication. My question is, are we seeing the implication? You see, if we see the implication, then we cannot think that the Mormons who don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, we can't embrace them as brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't look at the Buddhists and say, wow, they are so holy. You know, they have dedicated themselves to meditation about God. You know, they must be children of God. So we embrace them. We can't encourage the Jehovah's Witnesses and to wish them Godspeed as they go about spreading false teaching and see them as brothers and sisters in Christ when they deny Jesus Christ. It hits at the very foundation of Christianity. If we question Christ, then our preaching is vain. Our faith is vain. We are false witnesses. Can I say? The Jehovah's Witnesses are false witnesses. They are false witnesses since they question Jesus Christ and his godness. If we question Christ, then we are in a miserable, miserable state. So we are saying that the scheme that the devil is using is not a new one. He has used it before, and he's using it now. Are you ready to give an answer to those who would question you about the foundation of your faith? Are you ready? For the next few minutes, I want to look at some passages that point to and highlight the fact that Christ is in fact eternal, that he existed before time. He's everlasting, he's eternal, and there's absolutely nothing that was created that was not created by him. Christ existed before time. He is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There is absolutely nothing that was created that was not created by Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful, but it's a fact. Let's look at a few passages. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. In fact, pick up at verse 15. Start at verse 15, 15 through 17.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Mm-hmm. For by him were all things created that are in heaven.
By him were all things created
that are in heaven and that are in earth.
So not just things that are on earth, but the heavens as well as the earth. Things that are there are created by Christ. Visible
and invisible,
whether they be
thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, mm-hmm. all things were created by him.
All things were created by him
and for him.
Now here is it. If the argument is that Christ is not God, he was a created being. You know, and some of the persons who push this argument will come to us and say, well, you know, God created Christ first, and then Christ created everything else. But if we join them in that line of argument, then, and we look at this passage, it would be that Christ also created himself. And if you can create yourself, then that means that you are God. So we are seeing here that all things were created by Christ Jesus. You know, if we go back to Genesis, then when God was speaking, God, he said, let us make man after our likeness. All right? So God, we were created in the image of God. So we are seeing already that God has plurality to it. So we need not get confused. So when we look at Colossians, we are seeing that every single thing that was created by Jesus Christ. All things were created by him. And he is before all things. Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. There's nothing that consists and exists that is not there because of Jesus Christ. That makes him God. But is Colossians the only witness on this stand? Let us turn to St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like the same thing that the Apostle Paul was writing, no, John is saying the same thing. In the beginning, oh, when is that? At the start, is the beginning when man was created? Well, Genesis sort of speaks to that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. So nothing comes before God. In the beginning, God. So in the beginning, there's God. And then we are being told by John, in the beginning was the Word. Then the Word is God. But I don't have to even infer this. So somebody's saying, well, brother, we're up here just preaching and talking. Let somebody else read the passage. Verse 1.
Beginning.
In the beginning.
Was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God. It spells it out. I don't even have to infer it. So what we are seeing is that, then somebody is saying, so what does Word have to do with Christ? You want to read some verses below?
The same was in the beginning with God.
Yes.
All things were made by Him, mm-hmm. and without Him was not anything made that was made.
Yes, continue.
In Him was life.
Yes.
And the life was the light of men. Mm-hmm. And the light shineth in darkness.
Jump down. Alright, verse 13.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, mm-hmm. nor of the will of man, but of God. Mm-hmm. And the Word was made flesh.
The Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
And dwelt among us.
And we beheld His glory.
And we beheld His glory.
The glory as the only begotten of the Father.
The only begotten of the Father. We're getting the picture of who the Word is? The Word is referring to Jesus Christ. Wasn't it Jesus Christ who was made flesh? Wasn't it Jesus Christ who dwelt among us? Isn't it Jesus Christ that is referred to as the begotten of the Father? So when we see John in verse 1 through 3 saying that in the beginning was the Word, he's really saying in the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So when we are there talking about the passage saying, let us make man after our likeness. What that is referring to is Jesus Christ was in that Godness or Godhood. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But let's get some more witnesses. John chapter 8 and verse 58. John chapter 8 and verse 58. Now, Paul spoke, John spoke. Here we are going to see Christ Himself speaking.
Jesus said unto them.
Jesus said unto them.
Verily, verily, I.
You know, the interesting thing is that most of these people who are denying the deity of Christ, you know, is that they still want to hold on to Him a little bit. So they'll tell you things like, oh, he was a good prophet. You know, he was a good man that walked the earth and things like that. But here is the claim of that man that you are calling good. Read again. Jesus said unto them,
verily, verily, I say unto you.
Truly, truly. You see, it's like Him saying, believe me. Trust me. You know, truly, truly, I say unto you.
Before Abraham was.
Before Abraham was.
I am.
I am. You see that I am? That is, God is referred to as the I am. And he's saying that even before Abraham, I am. Jesus Christ's existence did not start at his birth with Mary. Before Abraham was, I am. You know, this wasn't in my outline. When Moses was sent, and I said, well, when I go out and start preaching, I said, who sent me and whatever? And God the Father said, just tell them, the I am. The I am has sent you. And you would understand that to mean that they would understand that to say that you are saying God has sent you. When Jesus comes here now and makes this statement, and it was a careless statement, he's saying, truly, truly, really, really, verily, verily, I swear it, before Abraham was, I am. Christ was declaring that he is God. If you are going to deny that Christ is God, you'll have to deny that Christ is of any worth in a spiritual way. In fact, you have to see him as wicked and lie on God and lie about, he's a deceiver. But he's saying here, I am. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I'm saying to you, before Abraham was, I am. Let's have another witness. John chapter 17 and verse 5. And let us remember what we're talking about. Christ the Messiah, he is God. As much as persons want to deceive us, and remember, they have put several arguments. He's not everlasting. He's just a man. He just came, you know, he's saying that he's only one true God. And those are the arguments. All right? So we are looking at some passages that I believe can help us to refute those fully. Read. John 17, 5.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Before the world was. Alright? So again, this is Christ speaking. Alright, let us go to the end of Revelation. Alright, well, in Revelation. Alright, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Again, Christ has not come off the witness stand. He's still there. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. And I could show off on you, and write Alpha and write Omega and give you a pronunciation. All right. I learned that tops of Greek. Alright. I am the Alpha. Alright, so if you take that now, that's the alphabet. The Greek alphabet. So I'm at the beginning, and Omega I'm at the end. All right, don't ask me the things in between, not in a shame. But Christ is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know what he's saying in that? I am from start to finish. I'm everlasting. I never start somewhere in the middle. I never start at Peta and Pi. Alright, I start at Alpha. Okay. Let me stop speaking unknown tongue. Alright. Okay, I can speak in unknown tongue if there's an interpreter. Alright, so I'll be my own interpreter. So Christ is saying, I did not start at K in the alphabet. I did not start at M in the alphabet. I started at A. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. Alright? And it's not really Z, it's Omega, but you know. So he's saying that I am going to end at the end. I'm not going to drop off before. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Read.
Saith the Lord.
Is who saith?
Saith the Lord.
The Lord.
Which is.
Which is.
And which was.
And which was.
And which is to come.
And which is to come.
The Almighty.
The Almighty. Christ is saying here that he is the Almighty. So if you have gone to scripture, what was the argument used? That Christ is not the Almighty. But Christ here is saying it is about his own self, in his own words. He's saying, I am the Almighty. That's what he said. Which is, which was, which is to come. The Almighty. Christ is referring to himself as the Almighty. You cannot go to scripture and then say that Christ is not Almighty. Note that the prophets of old also spake of Christ as God. Christ as God, mighty and everlasting. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. But thou, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands in Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel. Now, who was Micah? Micah was a prophet. If you look through your Bibles and so forth, it will fall into the section that you call the minor prophets. Alright? And he's speaking and he's saying, you know, out of this place, Bethlehem, Ephratah, a small little town. That's how. Alright. Yeah, I was born in Kingston. Alright. But most of the time when I refer to myself, I consider myself a person from St. Mary. Because from I was about 4 years old, my parents moved there and that's where I went to school. And alright. So if I tell you that when I was growing up and in primary school, early school, I used to live somewhere called Tremelsworth. Then, for most of you, can't identify with that any at all. It's just a small little place in St. Mary. It's almost like a little small section of a place called Highgate. And then in that place of Highgate, then you have, you know, you're going to refer to places like Fraserwood as being sort of a part of Highgate. But Tremelsworth now would be like a little section within Fraserwood. And so what we find here is that this prophet was speaking of the Messiah and saying, oh, you know where the Messiah is going to come from? He's going to come from this little place, Bethlehem Ephratah. That little place. That's where he's going to come from. All right, and he's going to be the ruler of Israel. Any idea who he was talking about? Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Who was reading me? Read the passage for me. Micah 5:2.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, thou be little among the thousands of Judah.
Yes.
The thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me.
Out of that little place, he shall come forth unto me.
that is to be ruler in Israel,
yes,
whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Christ didn't just start to exist when he was born of Mary. The Messiah is everlasting. And we have no doubt that it is talking about Christ, because when we look at the parallels of this prophecy, we realize that Christ was actually born of this little, small little place in Bethlehem. That's exactly where he came from. So this was a fulfillment. All right? And so to say that Jesus Christ is not God, all right, and that he's not eternal and he's not everlasting, is to even shatter the prophets altogether. But then somebody says, that was Micah. Probably that's why he's a minor prophet. He never quite gets it right. You know? And since we have been using the illustration about witness on the stand, we know that sometimes, depending on what is happening, you don't put minors on the stand. You know, they are underage. Alright? That really don't hold true fully. But so let's put somebody major. Did I give you a passage from somebody major? Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. What does that say? A passage that we know.
For unto us a child is born.
A child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
Yes.
And the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Upon his shoulder.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Counselor.
Counselor.
The Mighty God.
Wait. The Mighty God? Jesus, the Mighty God? Jesus Christ is referred to as the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The prophet spoke of this. So we cannot, not only Christ, not only Paul and John, but we even have the prophets coming to the witness, to be witnesses. So not only is Christ eternal and almighty, he is as true as the Father and the Holy Spirit. They are all one. St. John chapter 10, verse 9 through 30 says, My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So when Christ says, God is the only true God, my Father is the only true God, Christ is as true as he is, because Christ is also God. Christ is true, just as God is true, just as the Holy Spirit is true, because they are all one. Guess what? They are not false. They are all true. Jesus is as true as the Father is as true as the Son, and the Holy Ghost is as true as the Son. None of them are false. You see, Christ was saying, guess what? There are many false gods out there. Money, you know, you have people serving our cow as God. People make some beautiful things and says, whoa, this looks so beautiful. Bow down, start worship it. Alright? Some of us will love nature. And sometimes you look up at the sky and it just looks pretty. And you see the stars and things like that. And when you know that some person now look at the sun and say the sun is God. The stars, you know, that celestial set of lights. And they said, that's their God. Therefore, there are many false gods. But Jesus Christ is true God. Holy Spirit is true God. God the Father, true God. They are all one. So don't get mixed up with that. Christ is both God and man. Well, He is God. When He was here on earth, He was fully man. So Christ is God. Christ is man. In fact, godness, if I can find that term, was not something that God or Christ would see as Him robbing God or impersonating God. It is something that He was in essence. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. You see, Christ is both God and man. Godness was not a robbery because He is God. He, however, took manness. See how much terms are creating? He took manness, and in His man state, He humbled Himself. He took a subordinate role. Let me repeat that. Christ is both God and man. Godness was not a robbery because He is God. He, however, took manness. Not madness, you know. He took the state of being man. M-A-N. He took manness, and in His man state, He humbled Himself. He took a subordinate role to God the Father. So when, you know, the Jehovah's Witness and the other persons pulling on passages and saying, oh, Christ is saying that God is, the Father is greater than He is. We have to put it in that context, that he was playing a subordinate role. But that does not mean that He is not God. Over and over, we look at several passages. So we need to just understand this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8.
Who?
Being in the form of God.
Being in the form of God. Thought it not robbery. To be equal with God.
Equal with God. Look at it. If somebody said, you know, Christ and God are equal, Christ is saying, if you say that, yeah, you're right. It's not a robbery. That's true. It is, all right? So He's saying, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but
made Himself of no reputation.
Made Himself of no reputation. And took upon Him the form of a
servant
and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Don't mistake Him taking on this form and being humble to say that He was not God or He is not God. He has always been God, and He will always be God.
Amen.
He's from everlasting to everlasting. Make no mistake. And we can start to understand, at least they are consistent in this way, that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Adventists also fall in this category. You know what their problem is? They think we are like the dogs. So they think, when they put the argument that, oh, Christ can't be God because He is not from everlasting to everlasting because He died. Almost to say, well, He has stopped existing. You see, even for us, when we die, we continue to exist. So Christ has not ceased existing or did not stop existing when He died. He continued to exist. In fact, he went to work. He went preaching in the Hadean world. You know, I've scanned the audience and I'm not seeing any visitors, so you know, I'm going to make an appeal here that for persons who are not Christians, then the fact that Christ became obedient even to death, the death of the cross, has implications for the non-Christian to obey the plan of salvation. But let me keep the lesson to us as Christians, to build our faith, to equip us to teach. When we look not only at the Philippians letter, but the letter to the brethren in Colossae, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 9, we see that the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ. Let us not cause man, false religion, or the devil to deceive us. Let us not make this be the case. Colossians 2, 6 through 9.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him.
Walk ye in Him.
Rooted and built up in Him.
Rooted and built up in Him. Remember, that's how we started the lesson. That the foundation of our faith rests in Christ. So don't let anybody deceive you now about Christ and Him not being Lord. Walk ye in Him. Be rooted in Him. If people start making you wonder if Christ is really God, then they are rooting you up. You need to be rooted down. You need to get your roots down. Built up in Him. Established in the faith. Build up your faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, here's the warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You see the vain thing coming up again? People will have philosophy, their thoughts. This is what I think, and I reason things out this way. Don't let anybody spoil you up through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Don't let anybody shift you from a Christ focus. We are here as Christians. One of the things that every single one of us did before we became Christians was to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. You can't have Christianity, you can't have a Christian faith without it being built on Christ. For in Him, see that Colossians, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all. For in Him dwelleth all. I could put a lot of emphasis on two words here. Dwelleth. He continues to dwell. But I'm putting the word all. All the fullness. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ has everything that makes God God. All. That's what Scripture says. The wiles of the devil are alive and strong. He was doing it before Christ came. While Christ came in faith, when the apostles were here in the church, just that He was on them. We have it today. The wiles of the devil are alive and strong. But there are really no arguments. There are really none. Paul says it well in his letter to young Timothy. In Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And this will be my last passage. So we have said something on this. The lesson will be yours. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the point I'm making is that when we listen to these arguments that we have already shown, it's coming because of a poor understanding of what the everlasting nature of Christ is about, and the fact that he was here from everlasting to everlasting. We see in this letter, or this note to Timothy, an important lesson. In verse 16 it says, "And without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness." God was manifest in the flesh. Who? God. Let me start again. "And without controversy." No argument. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Christ. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Who has been preached unto the Gentiles? Christ. Who was more qualified to be making this statement more than Paul? Because he went to the Gentiles. He did a lot of preaching to the Gentiles. And he's saying, this God was preached unto the Gentiles. God. Believed on in the world. And if you don't get this, anything else, received up in glory. Received up in glory. Who, wasn't it, was it Acts 1? "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen go up, he's going to come again." That's Christ. But let us not miss the point. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." God. Christ the Messiah. He is God. Your Christian faith is based on Christ being God.